Today's shiur is Masechet Nedarim Daf Mem Vav. We're up to the first words of Daf Mem Vav Amin Aleph, but we will quickly review the three lines of the beginning of the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Hashutfim Shenadru Hanazum Zemizet. We have two shutfim, two partners that made neder that can't benefit from each other. So the halacha is a surim likarnas l'chatzer. If they share, if they own a courtyard together, as we're going to learn later in the shiur today, we discussed this at length in the previous shiur. We're referring to a chatzer she'ein bo gedei chaluka. It can't be easily divided. Still, the Tanakama holds that they may not, neither of them may enter the chatzer. And as we explained in the previous shiur, this represents the opinion of Vitor Osso B'mudar Hano, that even a small benefit is still considered osser, if I may not benefit from you. So even such a meaningless benefit as walking into your property, if I may not walk into your property, if I may not benefit from you, I can't walk into your property. And since this entire property is owned jointly, I have no way of being able to walk into the property. That's the opinion of the Tanakama. As we explained in the previous year, the basis of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion is Yesh Breira. That when I walk onto a spot in the property, Breira tells us that this is really the part that I always owned, and I therefore I'm not benefiting from you, and so the same vice versa. However, continues the Mishnah, B'shnei Masurim Lahamed Rechayim V'Taner Ulgadl Tanugoylim. So most Rishonim explain that this line of the Mishnah reflects the opinion of both the Rabbanan, who we just learned on Machmer, and the opinion of Elazar ben Yaakov, who's more lenient. And what the Mishnah is saying is as follows, that even if Elazar ben Yaakov agrees that to put something like a mill or a furnace into this property would be usher. And there's a Machloikis Rishonim why. The Ran explains, as we began our Mishnah, our Mishnah holds that Vitor is also Osir. Even the most small benefit one may not have from somebody he's not allowed to have benefit from. If you and I own a property together, for me to be able to put something like a mill or furnace into the property requires your permission. Our Mishnah is following the opinion that anything that I benefit from you, even though receiving that permission is no big deal, is Osir. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov will agree that I can't put these items into the property if I may not benefit from you. Tosfos has a different approach. Tosfos's approach is that we're referring to a situation where we have this courtyard. It's obviously a small courtyard. Otherwise, as we're going to learn soon, it should just be divided. These items that are being put down take up the entire courtyard. What does Breira tell us? That retroactively, no, where I was is my part, and where you were is your part. But if I have something that takes up the entire courtyard, so Breira can't give me the entire courtyard, I only own 50%. That's a second approach. A third approach the Rishonim give is that the case where Elazar ben Yaakov was makel was walking. Walking in the courtyard is something that's temporary. I just walk through. But to do something permanent, permanently put there a furnace, permanently put there a mill, would be osur. There is an opinion of the Ravid. Again, as I said, most Rishonim don't follow this opinion. That this din that the Mishnah is saying that we may not put the mill or the furnace, etc., only follows the opinion of the Rabbanan. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would be makel. But again, as I said, most Rishonim don't learn this way. Now we have another situation. If we have a situation where we have partners, but it's not like the first case of the Mishnah, where both partners may not benefit from each other. Here, only one partner may not benefit, and the other partner may benefit. So says the Tanakama, even though one partner, I didn't say that you can't benefit from me. You said I can't benefit from you. I won't be able to walk in, says the Tanakama, but you'll be able to walk in. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, again, Breira tells us, as Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov told us a moment ago, when I walk into the property, I'm walking into my property. And as the Rishonim say, these lines that we just read really don't represent any chiddush. It's obvious. The chiddush is the next words. The koifenes anoy de limkers chalkai. Here, the Mishnah teaches us, and again, most Rishonim explain that this reflects even the opinion of Reuel ben Yaakov, in a situation where the two partners are not allowed to benefit from each other. So Reuel ben Yaakov says each partner could walk into the chatzar. But in a situation where one partner may benefit and the other partner may not benefit, there Reuel ben Yaakov agrees, and certainly the Rabbanim say, I have a problem, because every time I walk into this chatzar, I'm benefiting or potentially benefiting from you. You don't have that problem because you're allowed to benefit from me. Therefore, the right thing to do is to sell. I should just sell my share and won't have a shaylah. And as we're going to learn in the Gemara, this is the way most Rishonim explain, it's only if I made the nether. So by me making the nether that I'm not allowed to have benefits from you, I created this difficult situation. And therefore, Chazal said, since you created this difficult situation, therefore, you have no choice but to sell out your portion. But let's say you created the situation. You made a nether that I'm not allowed to walk into your portion. So there, why should I have to sell? Because you created a difficult situation. And there, as we're going to learn tomorrow, the din of the Mishnah would not apply. Why does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov agree that if I created a situation that I can't walk into part of this property because I said that I can't have hanor from your property, must I sell? Says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, says the Ran. Because as we go back a number of lines to the beginning of our shir, we have, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, a difficult situation. I can't bring into this courtyard a furnace and a mill, and there are all sorts of restrictions that I have, but that you, my partner, who doesn't have an issur nether, don't have. To have a situation where partners don't have equal rights in a property that they own jointly is an unsustainable situation. And therefore, Kaifanai say, Limkar Eschalkai. We force him to sell his chalik. Now we have a different situation. Hoy Echmen Meshuk, Muda Be'echmem Hano, Lo Yikonis L'chatzar. Here we have a situation as follows. Reuven and Shimon own the property together. And now we have a third individual, Levi. Levi may not have benefit from Reuven. Reuven and Levi have some sort of a situation between themselves. But he may have benefit from Reuven, from Shimon. And they own this part, they own this property together. So the Tanna Kamma says, Tanna Kamma is the Rabbanan, Ein Breira. So they can't, this Levi can't walk into the property, because every time he's walking into the property, he's walking on Reuven's shear. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, according to the Shita, Yochaloi Malach, L'tar Shalach Avercha Ani Nichnas, V'Ani Nichnas L'tar Shalach. Levi could tell Reuven, when I walk into the property, I'm relying on Breira. And I only am walking on the area that owns, that belongs to Shimon, not on the area that belongs to Reuven. But here we have a fundamental machloikis between the Ran and the Ra'ah. How far Levi's rights to walk into this property go? The Ran explains that Levi could walk into this property, he could walk into Shimon's share, only when he's walking in on behalf of Shimon. But if let's say he's walking in on his own behalf, that he may not. He's only walking in there because he's allowed to benefit from Levi, from Shimon. So he only could walk there if it's truly a benefit to Shimon. And even in this, there's a machlokes Rishonim how to understand it. Does it have to be where Shimon needs Levi to come in? Shimon requested Levi, I'd like you to come here because I need your assistance. Or even if Levi is going on his own initiative because he thinks his being there could be of help to Shimon. But no matter how we learn it, the Ran explains, only if he's doing it for the benefit of Shimon may he walk in. If it's his own benefit, he may not walk in. The Ra'ah says, no. The Ra'ah says if we're following the opinion of Elazar ben Yaakov, and Levi has no problem with Shimon, so just like Shimon could walk into the entire property, so too may Levi. Continues the Mishnah. Hamuda anam mechaveri. If somebody may not benefit from someone else, v'yesh lo merchetz ubeis abad muskarim bi'ir. I own a bathhouse, very important place in ancient times, and somebody may not benefit from me. But I rented out that bathhouse to someone else. So now the question is, may you walk into the bathhouse or not? Says the Mishnah, and we're going to discuss this more in the Gemara, Mitzvashem. Im yesh lem ben tfisas yad osur, ein lem behen tfisas yad mutter. If I still have tfisas yad, and what the definition of Tfisas Yad, as I said, we'll see soon in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara, then it's still considered mine. And if you're not allowed to benefit from me, you may now walk into the bathhouse. If, on the other hand, I no longer have Tfisas Yad, so it's not considered mine, and you may walk in. Beis Habad doesn't mean a bathhouse. Beis Habad means an olive press. They used to have olive presses. People used to have olives, and they needed to have their olives crushed. Not everybody had the equipment at home. So they used to go to a central olive crushing site. The Ran makes a very interesting observation. The Ran says, this discussion of the Mishnah is only if I had already previously leased out my bathhouse and then made the nether. So the question is that you can't benefit from me. So the question is, what is included in my nether? What is not included in my nether? Teaches us the Mishnah, if I don't have Tfisas Yad, it's not included. But let's say, says the Ran, when I made the nether, I still own the bathhouse. And only after I made the nether did I lease it out, then certainly you can't walk into it because it was mine when the nether was made. The Ran, it's actually the Ran on the bottom of Mem Vav Amud Beis, goes into a lengthy discussion. He quotes a Gemara that we've already quoted previously, in Masechta Erchin. The Gemara says in Masechta Erchin that, let's say I rent out a property to someone. So it's his. He's the tenant. And then I go and I magdish that property. The halach is, the hegdish is effective. And he can't, if he uses the property, he's a moil behegdish. So we see, asked the Ran, and many Rishonim discussed this question, that even though I rented something out, it's still considered mine. Because if it weren't considered mine, how come if I rented out this property, do I have the right to be magdish it? Therefore, asked the Ran, even if I don't have Tfisas Yad in the bathhouse that I rented, I could be magdish it, according to the Gemara Masechta Erechin. That should still be considered mine, and therefore you, who may not benefit from me, should not be allowed to walk in there. So the Rishonim discussed this question. There are many answers to the question. We'll mention just a few. One answer given is that there's a difference, interesting answer, how the rent was paid. The Gemara in Masechta Erechin is referring to a situation where you rented the property but you didn't pay up the whole rent. So if you didn't pay your rent yet, you may be a tenant, but you're not that much of a tenant if you don't pay your rent. And therefore I have the right to be magdashit. Al Gemara is referring to a situation where the rent was paid. So my ownership as the landlord is a lot weaker than your ownership as the tenant. A similar teretz is the teretz of the Ran, which refers to what we're going to learn in the Gemara Namah Beis, that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the tenant pays a flat fee rent, and he even pays the taxes, the property tax on this property, which shows that the tenant is really the owner and not I, the landlord, whereas the Gemara Masechta Erechin is not referring to so much of an ownership by the tenant. A third teretz that the Rabbeinu Tam gives is that there's a difference between Magdish and all other Nedarim. Our Mishnah is referring to a nether. Well, I made a nether that you may not benefit from me. You're not allowed to have an off from me. And therefore, if I rented out this bathhouse, and it's not considered mine anymore, because I don't have Tfisas Yad anymore, you're not having an off from me. You're having an off from the current tenant. On the other hand, Hegdish, as we've discussed so many times, takes over the entire item. It becomes a new item. It's not mine, it's Hegdish's. Hegdish is a lot stronger of a chalois than just a nether. And that's why the Gemara Masechta Erechin, which is referring to a situation that I was magdish something, that's why even though it's the tenants, Hegdish is very powerful. Here where I was a magdish, it's just a nether, it's not as a powerful a relationship. Says the Mishnah, Haim l'chaveri, somebody says to someone else, Kadim l'beis chashari nichnas, I'm not going to walk into your house, v'sot chashari l'keach, nor will I buy your property. Mace, if the person who made this nether passes away, if the person who owns this house passes away, or he sells the house, so it's no longer his house, it's no longer his field, and therefore mutter. However, if somebody said, Kainan buys zo shani nichnas, he connected the nether to the house, I won't walk into this house, sadazu shani lekeach, mace shemachal acher, even if it changes ownership, I still may not walk into that house. Awesome. So the difference is very simple, as the Rishonim make the point. if I connect it to ownership, so if you don't own it, I can walk in. If on the other hand I connect it to the house, it makes no difference who owns it. So the Ran says, if we would learn the Mishnah simply, a neder of Bayezeh is a lot stronger of a neder than Beischa. Because Bayezeh, I may never walk in there, and Beischa, it's only as long as you own it. But as the Ran tells us, nothing is simple. There's a situation, says the Ran, that Beischa is more of a serious neder, stringent neder, than Bayezeh. He says, what would be the halacha if someone has a home, and the home is demolished, and a new home is built up on that place? So in a neder, a Beischa, I can't walk into the new home, because it's still Beischa, it's your home. On the other hand, if I said Bayezeh, if that original home is knocked down, and a new home is built on that spot, it's not Bayezeh, I would be allowed to walk in there. Actually, I saw that this Shaila has repercussions, interesting Shaila. The Shevet HaLevi discusses the following Shaila. There was someone who donated money to have a yeshiva, a shul built, and it was called on his name, that a big sign, that this person donated the shul, this yeshiva. Now, this yeshiva, the shul, is building a new building. And he wants that his name, not a question is, he had made a contract that his name remains on this shul, on this yeshiva forever. But they're building a new building. And from the money that they received to build the old building, they can't build a new building. So they want to take new donors. And their names will be on the new building. So our Mishnah teaches us, says the Shevet HaLevi, Beischa, it's only this house, Bayezeh. This house is where I made a contract that my name will be on. If there's a new house, it's not Bayezeh. And therefore, the donor cannot claim that his name should be put on the new building. The Shevet HaLevi, however, adds two interesting points. He says it still would be proper that in the new building they should put up some sort of a sign that the original building was donated by the original donor. Particularly, he says, since he gave the seed money to start this institution. And moreover, says the Shevet HaLevi, a very important vart. He says, the Ikka Kavod, the main Kavod, and the main reward we get for doing a mitzvah is not in this world, and is not dependent on the plaques that are put up on buildings. It's the schar that we have in Olam Haba, in the Olam Emes, when we do something right. The schar that this person donated the original building, and he makes a nice point. He says, obviously, he did a very good thing, because this yeshiva, this maisa, was able to grow, that it needs a new building. That schar remains, he says, lo'olam v'oed. That remains forever. And even if he no longer will have a building with his name, that may be in this world, but that schar remains. The Mefarshim also used the concepts that we just learned to explain some psukim in the Torah. The Pasuk says that when Yitzchak married Rivka, it says, v'yivieha oha'ela sari ima. And the Sifsei Chachamim asks that the proper way it should have said, lo'oihel sara imai. What does it say? Ha'ala kama sara imai. So he says, we just learned that once a person is no longer here, the Mishnah says it's not Beischa anymore. Sarah, when Rivka was brought to that tent, Sarah was no longer alive. So it can't be called oihel sara imai. It's not sara's imo, oil anymore. She's not here. So Pasuk says, oh, hello. He brought her to a tent. I just want you to know that this tent, sari imoy, Sarah once lived in it. But it can't be called oil sari imoy, because we learned in our Mishnah that once somebody passes away, it's no longer considered Beischa. The Parashas Terachim quotes an interesting Medrash. The Medrash says that the reason Moshe Rabbeinu was buried in the Midbar was an order that the people who died in the Midbar should have Tchias HaMeisim together with Moshe Rabbeinu and enter the third Beis HaMikdash. So the question is, what does one have to do with the other? So the Parashas Terachim says a beautiful teretz. He says, the Gemara says in Masechtas Saita that had Moshe Rabbeinu entered Eretz Yisrael and built the Beis HaMikdash, that Beis HaMikdash that would have been built by Moshe Rabbeinu would have never been destroyed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had made a shvua that the people of the Midbar may never enter the first base of Migdash. So they could have never, even when Mashiach comes, even after Tchias HaMesim, they could have never entered the base of Migdash. Because that bias there, there was a shvua that they can't enter. But now the Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go into the Eretz Yisrael. And a base of Migdash that was built was destroyed. So now when a new base of Migdash will be built, it's not bias there that there's a shvua that these people of the Midbar may not enter. And they'll be able to enter by Tchias HaMesim together with the rest of us, the third Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, Iboilu, Benidre Pligi. Our Mishnah refers to a situation where each one of us made a neder. I made a neder with partners, and I made a neder that I may not benefit from you, and you made a neder that you may not benefit from me. Ask the Gemara, however, what will be the din? What would be the halacha where I did not initiate the nether, but you made a nether that you won't benefit from me, that you can't benefit from me, and I can't benefit from you? Be aminin. Do we say benidru hu depligi albadir zezemay the lerabban lerabelazav yaakov the chinusa damen? Let's understand our mishnah. Our mishnah rabbanon are very machmer, and rabbanon say that when each one of us made a neder that we can't benefit from each other and we're partners, therefore we Rabbanan say we can't enter this property. So as the Ran explains, we explained the Mishnah, and we said at the beginning of today's shiur, the basis of the Rabbanan's opinion, because Rabbanan hold Ein Breira. Says the Ran, perhaps that's not the way to understand the Rabbanan. Perhaps the Rabbanan hold Yesh Breira. However, why did you go make a nether that he can't benefit from you? Why did you make a nether that that your partner can't benefit from me? Since we made these kind of nedarim, we deserve a knas that we should not be allowed, each one of us should not be allowed to walk into the property. But in a situation where I didn't start this story, I didn't make a nether that I can't benefit from you, you didn't make a nether that you can't benefit from me, I made a nether that you can't benefit from me, and he made a nether that I can't benefit from him. So we shouldn't punish him, and they should. Perhaps the Rabbanim will agree to the concept of Yesh Breira. Again, inside the Gemara. Im Bailu, Benidra Pligi, only in the case where each one of us initiated Neder, is where the Rabbanim argue in Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov at Amachmer. However, where we didn't each initiate our own Neder, we're only just the subject of our partner's Neder. Mi Amina, Benidra Hu Depligi. Do we say Dafka when they initiated the Neder? That's where we have the Rabbanan disagreeing with Rav Lezbet Yaakov. Avo hediru zezeh, it was just the subject of each other's nedarim. There moidalei Rabbanan Rav Lezbet Yaakov dechia nusin domi. Why should we be punished? It's something beyond our control. I dilma afilu bediru zezeh pligi Rabbanan. Rabbanan hold ein breira, and therefore it makes no difference who initiated the nether. Toshma. So Mara tries to bring a proof from our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, we learned just before, if one of them is the subject of a neder from the other one, a pligi rabbonin, how do we understand the Mishnah? The Mishnah is not a case where he initiated the neder, he's the subject of the neder. And yet, what do we learn in the Mishnah? The rabbonin hold Ein Breira. So you see, it makes no difference if I initiated the neder or I'm the subject of the neder. Says the Gemara, Tani Noda Mechavera Na. Don't learn that Pshat in the Mishnah is that I'm the subject of the nether. Learn Pshat in the Mishnah that I initiated the nether. And says the Gemara, and we refer to this when we learned in the Mishnah, Hachanami Mistabra. It makes sense to say that the case that we just referred to in the Mishnah is not a case where I'm a subject of the nether, but rather refers to a situation where I initiated the nether. Because what does it say there? The Tani V'Koyfinis Noider Limchor Eschalkai. We force the person to sell his portion of this property. Says the Gemara, Iam b'shlama the nether who, if we say that I initiated the nether. So you and I are partners, and I initiated a nether that I can't benefit from you. So that's why we could understand the Mishnah, Hainu d'tani kaifin. As we explained when we learned the Mishnah, it's a difficult situation to sustain, so Chazal tell us, sell out your portion. Eli Amr the Adre, if I'm just the subject of a nether, and my kaifin I say, Why would Chazal force me to sell my portion? Hamein is honest. I didn't do anything. I'm a victim. And as Duran explains very beautifully, he says, if the halacha were to be that if I'm the subject of a neder that prohibits me from having benefits from your share in this jointly owned property, every time a partner is going to want his partner to sell out, what's he going to do? He's going to make a neder that his partner can't benefit from him, and he'll follow what says in the Mishnah, the Kaifanoi say Limkar, and your partner was able to force you to sell. Why would Chazal create such a situation where a partner could force another partner to sell by using this type of devious device? It must be that our Mishnah is only referring to a case where I made the nether. And that's why Chazal said, why did you make a nether? Continues the Gemara. Amr Ava Amr Ziri. Machlaikis besodesh yesh by today chaluka. So the Ran explains the Gemara in the following way. Now before we explain the Ran's way, we'll explain it the Rosh's way. The Rosh explains it simpler. The Rosh says that really the Rabbanon hold a brera. And therefore, in a field, ava ein bo kedei chaluka de reakel motor, in a field which can't be easily divided, the Gemara Masechet Bava Basra discusses at length what's considered a field that can be divided or not. The Gemara says it has to be a field that everybody would be left with dalet amos, four amos, besides the area in front of the entrance. So the Rosh says that the Gemara is suggesting that there, since we have an easy way of separating these two people, divide it, so we divide it. However, if it's a too small of a field, a sadash ein bo kedei chaluka, it's too small to divide, there the Rabbanan will agree that we, to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, do we follow the concept of Breira. That's the way the Rosh explains the Gemara. The Ran explains the Gemara differently. The Ran, and this refers back to the Ran that we spoke about in the previous year. The Ran says as follows. When we discussed Rav Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion in the previous year, the Ran asked the question, we're going to learn in a moment that the halacha follows the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, that we rely on Breira. Asked the Ran, and as we said in the previous year, many Rishonim asked this question, that we have a rule throughout Shas, the sugya Breira, the sugya of retroactive designation, is found many times throughout Shas, and the halacha is always as follows. By a doraisa, we say ein Breira. By the Rabbanan, we say yesh Breira. Here, asked the Ran, we're talking about Nadarim, the Dharma Medaraisa. So how can we follow the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, which is based on Breira, on the Deraisa we said in Breira? So Rav Elazar ben Yaakov said, so the Ran explained, and we gave a number of Terutzim the previous year, we don't have the time to review all the Terutzim, but the Ran's Terutz was a very Lomdash Terutz, differentiated between two types of situations. He says as follows. He says, if you and I own a large property together, and we're partners for many years, 10 years later we decide that we want to split the property into two. So saying Breira, that 10 years later we divide the property and we say retroactively, I got the north side, you got the south side, the north side was always mine, the south side was always yours, is difficult to say. But if we're referring to a situation, says the Ran, where we own a small piece of property, as we're saying, Sodesh Ein Bo Kedei Chaluka, it's a very small piece of property. We understood when we entered into this joint ownership that we're going to have to be able to live together. So that's a new form of Breira. It's not a Breira that was designated at the end. It was a Breira from the beginning. And therefore, the Gemara is suggesting, since this is a new type of Breira, Rabbah says the Gemara, according to the Ran's explanation, wants to suggest that where it's a Sodesh Yesh Bo Kedei Chaluka, which is a typical Breira, where we divided something, and now we want to retroactively say that that designation was there from the beginning. Rabbanan don't agree to it. But this new situation of Breira, that we've only encountered the first time now, or yesterday, where we have a field that we have to make accommodations to each other, because we brought it together, and it's a very small area, maybe to that type of Breira, Rabbanan agree too. And that won't be the subject of our Mishnah. Now let's learn the Gemara. Machloikis, where do we have the Machloikis of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Baranah Mishnah? Only by Yisodah Shesh Badei Chalukah, which is the typical case of Breira. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov subscribes to it, and the Rabbanan don't. Aval Ein Bo Yikdei Chalukah, which is this new type of Breira. The Rabbanan will agree to that type of Breira, and they'll agree to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that Mutter, I can walk, and you can walk. Amalei Rav Yosef says, Rav Yosef, I'll prove to you that that's incorrect. Because we're going to learn in the Mishnah, Mitzvah Shemon Daf Mem Ches, Harei Beis Knesses. Every shul, the Gemara She'ein by G'day Chalukah Dami, a shul by definition is a place that can't be divided. You can't divide a shul into two. And yet we find, V'tnan Shnei Masurim B'davah Shalai Seir. So a shul by definition is like a Sodah She'ein by G'day Chalukah. It may be a very large area, you could have a huge shul, but you can't divide the shul, it's one shul. And we still have the Machloikas of Rabbi Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So what do we see from that Mishnah? What do we see from that Mishnah, says the Ran, that even in a place, She'ein Bo Yikdei Chalukah, the Rabbanan still have their opinion that ain't Breira. So it can't be that the Machloikas is limited strictly to an area of a place, She'esh Bo Yikdei Chalukah. And therefore the Gemara says just the opposite. El Amar Yosef Amazirah. Machloikas, the Machloikas is only in a place, She'ein Bo Yikdei Chalukah. And the way the Ran explains the Gemara is Kishmak. Because here, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says we have this new form of Breira, and we rely on it. Avol Yesh B'dei Kechalukah, which is the traditional type of Breira, which by a Doraisa we don't want to employ, even Rav Elazar ben Yaakov will not rely on it. The Gemara here is saying, and we're going to discuss this more in Mitzvah Shimon Shir when we learn Daf Mem Ches, but just to start talking about the subject, it's a very important subject, La Halacha, that a shul is considered an area that's a joint area. It doesn't make a difference the size, the physical size of the shul. It's one big shul. The Paiskim do discuss, does that even include the seats? Let's say I buy a seat in the shul. Is that considered just part of the shul? Or is it considered my area, my private area? What would be the nafka mina al gemara? Let's say I bought a seat in the shul. Could I make a nether that you're not allowed to sit on that seat? If it's considered mine, so just like I can make a nether that you're not allowed to use my Gemara, I can make a nether you're not allowed to sit on my seat. If, on the other hand, it's considered the shul's, just I have certain rights because I paid certain fees, so then I don't have that type of ownership that I can make a nether that you may not benefit. But the Gemara clearly says, our Gemara and the Mishnah Mitzvah Shem, that a shul is considered a place, that it's one entity. And the Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan, the Shalos Tshuvos Be'er Yitzchak discusses, this is not a new Shiloh, that let's say there's a break-off shul. You had a minyan, you had a shul, you had a congregation, and there's a group that wants to create its own shul, its own community, and they had been members for a long time in the existing shul, and they feel that certain assets that shul has belongs to them. It could be as simple as chumashim and sidurim and sifrei Torah as to money in the bank. So the Be'er Yitzchak says that our Gemara just said that a shul is a place that anybody could take chalukah. It's not that I have ownership and you have ownership. It's one community. So if, he says, they're creating their own minyan with the consent of the members of the shul, let's say the shul just is not large enough to hold everybody, so they have to create a new minyan. Or it's a situation that everybody understands that these two groups can't coexist. Then they have a right to ask for assets from the existing shul. But if it's just a break-off minyan, they don't have a right to say that we own part of the assets of the shul, that they could take those assets. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna, Haloch Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The halacha follows Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Kain Amar Rabbi Elazar, Haloch Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Mefarshim ask that we have a rule throughout Shas, the Mishnosa Shir Rabbi Elazar Kav V'Noki. Elazar ben Yaakov isn't mentioned that frequently in Shas. Some say the word Kav is the Gematria 102. He's only found 102 places in Shas. But V'Noki, we always follow his opinion. So the question they ask is, if we always follow the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, so what does our Mishnah, our Gemara have to say explicitly that the halacha follows Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Obviously it follows like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Mishnah says Rabbi Elazar kavanoki. So I saw a few terutzim into the kasha. One terutz is that since that this rule is not a hard and fast rule. Yes, we typically follow Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. It doesn't mean we have to follow his opinion. And that's why I hear the Gemara had to say that in this case we're following his opinion. Another answer I saw is that when do we say that the halacha follows Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? When Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, an individual, is arguing with another Tana. So there we say that we follow the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Now the Gemara Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is arguing against the Chachamim. So it's a Yochad the Rabbim. That's why we have to say still we follow the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And a third teretz is because the Mishnah that we just quoted that speaks about the shul actually paskins like the Chachamim. And Mr. Shem, when we learn that Mishnah, we're going to find that there's an interesting Rambam. Because the Rambam, on one hand, in our Mishnah, paskins like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and by the shul, he paskins like the Chachamim. And how could those two Rambams coexist? We'll discuss the Mr. Shem. So since we have another Mishnah that seems to contradict this Mishnah, we should say that the halacha does not follow Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. That's why the Gemara had to explicitly say that the halacha does follow Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So we learned that muda no mechaver v'yesh l'sham merchatz, that if you may not benefit from me, and I own a bathhouse, so the Mishnah said, I rented out that bathhouse, so the Mishnah said, if I have tfisas yad, then you who may not benefit from me may not enter the bathhouse. If I don't have tfisas yad, then you may enter the bathhouse. Ask the Gemara v'kama tfisas yad. What does tfisas yad mean? Omer Rav Nachman, l'mechza l'shlish l'reviya. That if I get a share of the profits, 50%, 33%, 25%, then you may not enter the bathhouse. Ava botzer, and there's two girsas here. Ava b'botzer, if I get a share of the profits, but it's less than 25%, it's no longer considered that I have a tfisas yad in this bathhouse, loy, and you may enter the bathhouse. That's how the Rosh learns the Gemara. The Ran learns the Gemara, has a different girsa in the Gemara. He doesn't have the word avol botzeloy, he has the girsa avol bebeitzemloy. He says like this, if I, the landlord, have any share in the profits of the bathhouse, it's considered that I have a tfisas yad, and you who may not benefit from me may not enter the bathhouse. But he says they used to have a concession in the bathhouse. There's two pshatim in what the concession was. One is beitzim, they used to sell eggs. They used to have an egg concession in the bathhouse. Another pshatim beitzim is a clay balls. They used to make all of their vessels out of clay. And they had a concession where clay was sold in the bathhouse. So the Gemara is saying, according to the Ran's explanation, that if I still have a share of the profits of the bathhouse, it's still considered my bathhouse. And if you're not allowed to benefit from me, you can't go into the bathhouse. But let's say I have no share in the profits of the bathhouse, but I still do have a concession to sell eggs or to sell clay. That's not considered I own the bathhouse anymore, and you may enter the bathhouse. Abaya Omar, afilu b'botzer osur, even if I any small share that I have in the bathhouse is considered that I still have a tfisas yad, and if you may not benefit from me, you may not enter the bathhouse. Heichi dami d'shari, but what is the situation where you may enter the bathhouse? Says the Gemara, the Mekabel b'taska. The Mekabel b'taska, the Ran explains, we spoke about this earlier in the Gemara, is when you pay a flat rent. If I rent out the bathhouse to you, and you pay me a rent, no matter how much profit, or even if you take a loss, then it's not considered my bathhouse, and then you're allowed to, then the person who may not benefit from me may enter the bathhouse. That's how the Ran learns. The Rosh says the Mekabel b'taska is not just that you pay a flat rent, you also pay the property tax. If the tenant, number one, pays a flat rent, and number two, pays the property tax, that is a proof that it's the tenant's bathhouse, not the landlord's bathhouse, and therefore the person who may not benefit from the landlord may enter the bathhouse.